This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Vikings have fired offensive coordinator John DeFilippo, who everyone has getting a head coaching job in a few weeks. Seems to be a disconnect there. We'll get into that coming up a little bit later in the hour on Grant and Danny. Right now, though, the big one at one. Let's go around the NFL with CBS Sports' Eye on NFL blog's Ryan Wilson, one of our good buddies. And why don't we start with the news of the day, DeFilippo out in Minnesota. You know, it's funny. Danny and I came on the show today, and I said, if I'm DeFilippo, I'm going into his office, and I'm telling him, leave me alone and let me call passing plays or fire me. You hired me. You knew what I was. You think it's 1936. We can't run the ball. You're desperate to do so on third and one and fourth and a foot, and it never works because our offensive line's bad and Tom Compton's a starter. It seems like maybe that happened. Maybe that played out. What do you think led to this?
Mike Zimmer called his bluff, I guess. He went in there, put his demands on the table, and now DeFilippo's back in his bags. But, you know, Grant, you mentioned an interesting thing. We've been talking about this guy as a sort of hot coaching candidate looking ahead to next season. And this doesn't make him look any better. And you could see it last night. They refused to run the ball. And all you have to do is look across the other side of the field and see how you do that effectively. And you can say, oh, but wait, the Seahawks are a running team. The Seahawks offensive line is arguably just as bad as the Vikings. They found a way to make it work. They don't put Russell Wilson in situations where he's taking one hit after the next. And they ran the ball. They ran the ball for 4 yards on first down. They ran for four more on second down. And then you're in third and manageable. And you saw how that played out. It didn't sort of open up until the fourth quarter. But at no point did you think, oh, the Vikings are going to win this game, given the way they've played to this point. And DeFilippo, from start to finish, you hit on it. I'm going to throw the ball no matter what. You could see Zimmer steaming on the sidelines. He made a point a few weeks ago that he wants to run the ball more. DeFilippo's against that. And I don't think you can say, well, this is all on Kirk Cousins either, because he did not play well last night. He's sort of struggled recently. But there's a five-game stretch early in the season where he completed 70% of his passes, had 10 touchdowns, just 3 interceptions, but took 15 sacks. So that sort of goes back to you need to run the ball more just for some balance. You don't have to take it back to 1975, but you need some balance. And we've seen teams do that. Not only the Seahawks, but the Ravens are doing it. The Texans are maybe even a better example where they're creating some balance to give Deshaun Watson a break. But, yeah, so this is sort of a weird time to fire DeFilippo, given that they're down the stretch. But I guess Zimmer just had enough, and he wants something to change.
Ryan, Minnesota was a couple plays away from being the NFC champion last year. They are in the playoffs if they started today, and they fired a coordinator for lack of production. Now, there's more to it than that, but there's infighting and aside, but bear with me. The Redskins are in the midst of one of their December unfathomable disasters with some of the worst context around all the losing, as they're now 1-5 in their last 6 games, on the way to finishing the season 1-8 potentially. And there's Reuben Foster, and there's the waning season tickets and TV viewership, etc. And they're not firing anybody. I can't believe the contrast. I can't believe nobody's head rolled here on Monday morning.
You know, part of me wonders, and I don't want to make this too political, but part of me wonders if Bruce Allen is like, you know what, I kept the guys I wanted, I got rid of the guys, or kept the guys out that I also didn't want, and I'm happy with that at the end of the day. Now, I don't know if that's true, but I just wonder, on the outside looking in, if he's okay with that. Because you're exactly right, Danny, that nothing has gone right the last month or so. Part of it's been just bad luck with, obviously, Alex Smith and then Colt McCoy, but it's been a lot of terrible football, too, and you could have avoided or at least minimize the recent mistakes. On no planet, under no situation, is Mark Sanchez the answer to saving your season or to even helping you get close to winning a few games. It's just not going to happen. And nor is Josh Johnson, who did admirably well, given that he hadn't thrown a pass since 2011. There are other alternatives out there. But I don't know. It just feels like one thing after the next, and everything that comes afterwards is worse than what preceded it. Doug Williams, giving that press conference, is one of the saddest things I've ever seen. And I've seen a lot. So I don't know where you go from here. I don't know why Redskins fans would have any faith in this organization to do the right thing in terms of putting this their best foot forward and trying to win football games consistently. But I think you're right. This is sort of the December. We're in December. This is the Redskins. They're sort of flailing, and there seems to be no hope hope in sight.
Ryan Wilson is our guest on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Did anybody suffer a loss more discouraging and hard to fathom than the Broncos this past weekend?
Maybe the Steelers. But the Broncos are up there because they had played so incredibly well, won some really tough games. They had actually made the case, and Vance Joseph had made the case, that we're not a terrible football team. We just had the toughest schedule in the NFL, and all the games we lost were really, really close. Now they're out of the picture. I mean, mathematically they're still there, but they're a game behind three other teams that are vying for the number six spot. And then, of course, there's Baltimore and the Chargers that have 5 and 6. So I mean, this isn't Case Keenum's problem. There are bigger issues than that. But I do wonder, given John Elway's inability to find a quarterback in a post-Peyton Manning world, if he's going to be looking again. Now, it's only a two-year deal for Case Keenum. I think it's about $18 million a year, so that's relatively cheap. There'll be plenty of teams that want Case Keenum, but he's obviously not the guy who can do it alone and get them over the hump, like we've seen with Peyton Manning in the past when he was in his prime before 2015, when the defense actually did help him out. So, yeah, there are a lot of questions to be answered about that last game. I don't know. I feel like Vance Joseph's earned the right to stay around, but Elway may feel differently, and we'll see. But that was a game they couldn't lose, especially given how well they played in the previous three.
At Ryan Wilson, CBS, a great follow on Twitter for the football information. Ryan, we can look at the kind of middle class here in both conferences. Nobody seems to want those playoff spots. We mentioned Denver and otherwise. A lot of losing records in teams like Carolina, Green Bay, although they, you know, had a nice ball game this weekend, but Minnesota, et cetera. Somebody ultimately has to qualify for that sixth spot in both conferences. Who's it going to be?
I do wonder if part of Zimmer's thinking with firing DeFilippo is, okay, let's find a way to backdoor our way into the playoffs. They're currently the sixth seed, and they're sort of in the driver's seat just because, as you point out, Danny, no one else seems to want it. The Panthers are going backwards. The Eagles are hit and miss from one week to the next. We know about the Redskins. And behind them at number 10 is Green Bay. And part of me wonders if now that Aaron Rodgers has been freed of the shackles of Mike McCarthy, if they get on a roll, they can sort of find a way there. Way into the number six seed. That would be bonkers. They first have to win at Chicago this week, and that's facing long odds. But they could do it. I mean, they've certainly done it in the past, and we know what Aaron Rodgers can do. And I think Joe Philbin is exactly what he needs. I was sort of joking during that game Sunday when Philbin burned through his first two challenges in the first couple minutes, and then he just sat on the bench and drank hot chocolate and said, you know what, Aaron can handle this, and he did. They put 34 or something up on the Falcons, and it was never really close. So I wonder if the Packers can get past Chicago on Sunday, then we got to start paying attention because maybe they find a way to eke their way into that sixth seed. I don't think they'll go very far once they get there, but that would be sort of a fun story over the last 3 weeks of the season.
Is there anything else that can be said about Patrick Mahomes? Just rewatching some of that game. I was at Redskins Giants during it, unfortunately, but I went back and I saw the no look pass and some of the scrambling around he was doing. We haven't seen something like this, maybe ever, certainly in a long, long time.
Now, Sage Rosenfels was on Twitter right after that play.
I thought you were about to say Sage Rosenfels was doing stuff like
that. That was the last time we saw this.
I was like, whoa.
400 to 300 yards, 40 touchdowns.
I missed that stint.
He was doing the Rosencopter. But the last – he actually saw Brett Favre do it in practice, he said, in 2009 when they were both with the Vikings. But, yeah, on the field, no. In fact, once I saw that no-look pass, I said, okay, look, he's looking to his right. And if you try to look to your right, and then even with your eyes follow the receiver to your left, you still have to throw across your body 17 yards – on a dime, hit him in stride. It's impossible. And I don't even know why he – maybe he was showing off. It's like one of those things where you're the NBA All-Star game just doing tricks because you can do them. I don't even know why he did it, but it was amazing to watch, and I absolutely loved it. And it wasn't against a bunch of stiffs out there. This is the Ravens defense in the middle of the game. And not only that, an hour or so later, he throws the 48-yarder to Tariq Hill in 4th and 9 that no one else on this planet completes. It's just so incredibly fun to watch. And I just hope they get home field advantage because I don't want them to have to go to the Patriots in the AFC Championship game and lose there, because I think that would be unfair to football fans who are tired of seeing Tom Brady and Bill Belichick at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, count me as one of them. That was basically like a heat check pass. You know what I mean? Like a guy's made 5 straight threes and he takes a 6 from half court.
That's right.
Ryan, you're the best, buddy. I always appreciate the time, man. Enjoy the week.
Thank you, guys.
Ryan Wilson, check him out. CBS Sports' Eye on NFL blog. We got some more Nats content from the winter meetings coming your way. But you just heard Ryan talking about the AFC playoff picture with the Denver loss. Get back into some thoughts on some of the news of the day in the NFL, how it pertains, what's going to shake out in the postseason push, including an update on James Conner in Pittsburgh and what this could mean for these Steelers.
Guys, Danny Ruye from my guys, Ted Britt Ford. You can have a 2018 Mustang. Think about how cool that sounds. I own a Mustang, a 2018 Mustang for up to $7,000 off the MSRP. $7,000 off the MSRP on a Mustang at Ted Britt Ford. All right? Now, I got some more deals. How about $7,500 off the MSRP at for a 2018 Ford Edge? All that plus 0% financing for 60 months. That's true on the following vehicles. $8,500 off MSRP on the Escape, 0%. $9,500 off the MSRP on the Expedition. How about $11,000 off the MSRP on new F-150 trucks? You want a theme? Here's your Stone Cold Steve Austin style bottom line. The 2018s have to go. Their time has come. The 2019s are here. The 18s are taking up spots on the lot. You can get an unbelievable deal now. 120% Kelley Blue Book value for your trade-in. And then a ton of money off with 0% financing on all the cars, trucks, and SUVs I just mentioned. You got to go see my guys at Temperate Ford in Fairfax and Chantilly. And when you do, tell them Danny sent you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Yesterday, we asked you whether or not you thought the Redskins would make a change on the Monday after their worst loss in a couple of years. Fast forward, they haven't. Would you make a change, and what do you think they're going to do? So, actually, let's get your prediction on that. What do you think we see that is different this Sunday? I know one thing that's going to happen, and I think we all kind of have the idea now, even though it hasn't been confirmed. Josh Johnson's going to be their starting quarterback.
Right. So that'll be trotted out as enough.
Look, that's a change. It's a substantial change. You benched your starting quarterback of a game halfway through. You went to Josh Johnson. He played better, so now you'll make that change at quarterback. Here's another change I think you can make pretty easily, and it doesn't take firing a coach or blowing out a staff or uprooting a family or anything like that. HaHa Clinton Dix has not played well at all. Monte Nicholson is young and is going to be on your roster in the future. HaHa Clinton Dix, I gave up a fourth-round pick for you. I thought you'd help my defense. You haven't. My secondary's gotten worse because of how you're playing. No disrespect to you, but I need to see what Monte Nicholson is, because I have to make the decision as to whether or not I have to sign a safety this offseason or draft a safety this offseason. I may move on from DJ Swearinger, because if I'm speaking from Jay Gruden's mouth, he's annoying. He talks about me and my staff all the time, and I'm tired of dealing with him off of the field. And the juice is not worth the squeeze based on the second half of this season. So you might need two safeties potentially. I need to figure out if Monte Nicholson can play in the NFL. Last year, everyone wanted to tell us this guy's a future Pro Bowler. He played in a handful of games. He got hurt a bunch. He intercepted that pass against the Raiders once. And everyone crowned him as the next big thing in Washington. Halfway through this season, the Redskins had seen enough of him to say, we need to trade a fourth-round pick for a safety.
Yeah, have you potentially ruined him with this, right? It's one of those things, if you've got a young player that just can't do it, trade away. Go get somebody. Go get an Orlando Scandrick, right, if you don't think your cornerbacks can do it. Go get a Clinton Dix if you think your young safety doesn't have a chance. But there's a chance you could have cost this kid his development, and it won't happen elsewhere, or won't happen until he gets elsewhere. You know, that's something that's out there. To me, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think they're going to bench Clinton Dix. The reason being, it would be an organizational admission. I think what Andre, our buddy, called and said earlier about if anybody's moved or removed, you'd have to admit fault. You'd have to admit that something, that your decision and your process was wrong. I think somebody in that room stood up and said, yeah, go get me Clinton Dix. I can't wait to have him in my system. That would require an admission of incorrectness. It would require that, you know what, we should keep our fourth rounder and keep going with Monte Nicholson, because we'll be better off in the long term. I don't think they'll make a change. Maybe they'll do a sub-package thing like they did this week and put Sean Dion Hamilton in there. and under the guise of Zach Brown being sick, and that's why he missed, and he found out, I guess, like an hour before kickoff that that was the case, whatever. They may do something like that, Grant, where they rotate them all in or put an extra safety package together. But to me, this is a dig-your-heels-in, obstinate thing, and the only change we're going to see is Josh Johnson. That's my prediction for this week.
I mean, it's not on a limb. It certainly seems like what they're going to do as of right now. There's nothing else you'd bet on happening, is there?
No.
What have we seen that makes you think they feel like they're in desperate times or that they need to flip the switch to now or never mode?
Yeah, Jay's been curt at press conferences. That's as far as it's
gotten. Has he, though?
Yeah, well, let me rephrase. For the Jay Gruden spectrum of, yeah, man, I'm cracking jokes, happy to be here. What's going on? Les, good to see you. Like your hat. Nah, that's his normal shtick.
Right.
He's a little bit more, yep, we'll see. We got to get
cleaned
up.
That's true. I think he got salty with Lavero after the game on Sunday.
Right.
Because Lavero said something like, is there a disconnect with the offense? And Jay Gruden said,
yeah, we're in our fourth quarterback.
Yeah, there's a disconnect. I got a fourth quarterback and a fourth guard, which, by the way, I loved that answer so much.
It is a good answer.
Because the question, you're being like, why can't you move the ball? You know who my quarterback is, Tom?
Yeah. Have you seen him?
Yeah. You were in the press box, right?
Right.
I love that.
It's turned more, it's less pleasant, obviously, because things are terrible, and he's a little bit more terse and not in a great mood. Well, by all means, I guess get in the fallout shelter because the bombs have hit. You know what I mean? Like, there's, it doesn't match what's going on. And there is a terror, I think, or a refusal to admit how bad things actually are because it will require you to face the problem. And that's why Bruce Allen has hid for more than 2 weeks. When you do what they did in terms of Reuben Foster and statements issued and Doug Williams screwing up and whatever, you need to stand up and be accountable. And by the way, I defended the signing and still do because nothing has happened yet. Nothing bad has happened. If he's guilty and did some terrible things and they still play him, then I'll get pissed. Nothing has happened. I defend the signing and still think it's fine. But Bruce Allen needs to stand up and be accountable. Instead, he's hid. He has hid, and he's hid some more, and the only thing that's happened is he whispered to Lisa Salters and put his foot in his mouth there. There is a refusal to acknowledge how bad things are, and poor Jay's got to trot out there and try to give explanations. It's crazy. Something's going to happen after the season, I think. I think there's going to be a giant demonstration, but I think they're just going to keep playing this out because it requires some serious adults to do some talking, and they can't do it because they're children.
800-636-1067 is the number. Let's go to Kenny in Charlotte on Grant and Danny. Kenny, what change do you think gets made before we see the Skins again on Sunday?
First of all, guys, thanks for taking my call, man. You know, of course, I live far away from home now, and I just want to say first and foremost, I'm infuriated as a lifelong Redskin fan because I live and die by this team, and it's in my blood, you know. You guys speak about it all the time. The 80s, the early 90s, the Gibbs era, I've been there from day one. And, you know, even when in 96 we were 7-1 and still missed the playoffs, you always live and die with this organization. And it just doesn't feel like there's been any reciprocation. And I can't predict what's going to happen soon because I'm already astonished that we haven't made changes because it seems like a fire sale is the only thing that's going to work or even start the process of a rebuild and getting back to the RFK days if we ever get to recapture
those
days.
But let me ask you this, Kenny. When you talk about a fire sale, you don't have a fire sale with three games left. You certainly don't have a fire sale. I know it has nothing to do with them. But when you're a half game out of the playoffs, I mean, if you want a fire sale, don't you think you wait till the end of the season to do that?
Yeah. And, you know, you make a really good point, and that's why I'm even more frustrated because we are caught in a vice right now. Technically speaking, emotionally speaking, like Grant was saying or Danny was saying yesterday, I would have fired everybody at halftime, losing 34-0 at home. I mean, that was an embarrassment. It was a disgrace. But now we're stuck in a vice because we're technically still in the playoffs, and it's going to end up just like it ended up the last 2 years, where we're 7-9, and we're going to get a mid-round draft pick.
Yeah,
it's the worst possible outcome, and it infuriates me even more now that as I get older, I'm looking at other teams, and I'm saying, man, those guys are really good. Maybe I'll watch him. I would never, ever have thought of saying something like that back in the day, gentlemen.
Yeah, I hear you. Appreciate the call. Teams have been good and bad and good and bad and good and bad while the Redskins have been doing the same dance, while they've been doing the same thing inside this, you know, this low-ceilinged, capped out at 10 wins only a handful of times or less than a handful of times. The endlessness of the waves kind of crashing, I think, take a lot out of fans, and that's so frustrating. But to be in that middling spot, a la the Atlanta Hawks or now the Wizards, is the worst spot you can be in. And especially when you consider, Grant, going in the next year, their cap situation went from, okay, this makes sense, to now it's dire because you'll have spent basically $25 million on a quarterback and not have a quarterback. That's kind of where they are when you add in the potential McCoy payments and Alex Smith's money and maybe some of it's the insurance. But for the most part, you're going to spend a ton on quarterback and not have a quarterback that can help you win games. And maybe if you move on from Josh Norman, it's another cap hit. You start adding in the guys that won't be playing for you, and you go, oh, my God, how are we supposed to build a franchise? How are we supposed to do anything with this group? It's the cap penalty 2.0 based on a freak and terrible circumstance of the Smith injury.
Let's take some calls on what change the Redskins will make you think before Sunday next at 800-636-1067. Anything else that you can envision them doing? The other thing we should get into at some point is what has to happen between now and the end of the season for you to feel like Jay Gruden should be brought back? And what would have to happen between now and the end of the season for you to think that he was going to be out as the Redskins coach after 5 years? He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Wanting him to stay, wanting him to go, what have you. The only way I think he ultimately gets fired is if they have another game like they just had against the Giants. That's the only way I can see it. Just an embarrassing blowout. They didn't show up. Where on earth was your team performance? And if it happens this weekend against Jacksonville or it happens week 17 against the Eagles, I don't think it matters. The day after that game, you could move on from him and everyone would say, yeah, I get it at this point. It's been 5 years. I understand. I don't know that you'd have a lot of blowback in doing so. I think that was as bad as it's going to get. I think that was rock bottom for them. Mm. But I think if they have three competitive games, even three losses, there's still going to be a loud groundswell saying, you lost 7 in a row.
You finished 1-8 after starting 5-2.
1-8. This is what happened to Shanahan when they went 3-13. The difference being, of course, the 6-10 record, and you do twice as many wins. But you will have gone from being above 500 to being 8-7-1 to being 7-9 to being whatever this year ends up being, maybe 6-10. You're going in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think it takes another catastrophe. I think it takes another debacle, the likes of that Giants game. That's the only way it happens. What about you?
This is a great question.
What if they lose out with three straight close games?
Now, to me, I think there are two things. Number one, I would have fired him already after this past Sunday. And again, not all of it's his fault, but it's the NFL. Life's tough, right? It's a terrible business. If nothing happened after Sunday, I don't know that anything's going to happen. I don't know that anything will happen, even over these last three games. If you can't have a pit of my stomach type reaction after a loss to a terrible Giants team, and that's what they are without Odell Beckham. They're terrible, okay? Even though the record overall is very mediocre, they're 5-8, whatever it is, and they've been playing better football of late. Without Odell Beckham, they're garbage. They have no offensive talent outside of Saquon Barkley, and they did whatever they want to you on both ends. And they gave up, they stopped trying, and that's when you moved the football. After that embarrassment at home, if you don't have a reaction then, I don't know what it takes. You know? To me, maybe there's something else going on, and each domino can be explained in so much as, well, you know, Dan is really trying to court some of these, the Trump Republicans, and that's how they're going to get the stadium built in D.C., and he feels like he needs Bruce to do that. Bruce isn't going to fire Jay because it makes him look bad, and Jay's not going to fire Greg Minuski because that'll be three defensive coordinators, so let's just trot it out there. There's bigger fish to fry because Dan wants a Super Bowl. Maybe, something like that. You have to grasp for it to find the logic behind it. But to me, after this weekend, nobody had to stop coming to work. I don't know what could happen. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know that anything will justify it at this point. Maybe after the season we could move on from somebody, if you're the Redskins, and do it more quietly or something like that. But I don't know, man. After this weekend, I can't believe that nobody's out.
It is very tough, just in a vacuum, to survive a 7-game losing streak to end your 5th season with an organization. It almost doesn't matter unless you just signed, a 3-year extension before that year. If you go into your 5th year and you lose 7 straight in 8 of 9, I would have to imagine the math on that is that you lose your job way more often than you keep it.
Yeah, whatever the percentage is, that's high.
That does not account for the context, which you and I say matters all the time. Most of the time, you don't go through 4 quarterbacks in a season. And by the way, I was looking for this last night. I couldn't find it. If anybody is a quality researcher and wants to help me out with a little project, I'm trying to find out the last time a team started 4 quarterbacks in 5 weeks in the NFL in a 5-game span.
Spurrier tried with healthy guys. Well,
I guess it'll be 6, right? So you had Smith, then 2 starts for McCoy.
Smith, Houston, McCoy, Cowboys, Eagles, then Sanchez, Giants, and now it'll be 5.
Okay, you're right. So it's only the
in the 5th game. Yeah,
so,
the 5th game.
So it's the 4th quarterback starting in 5 games. Is there a chance that hasn't happened in like 50 years?
Yeah.
I think there's a chance.
It's rare company.
I don't remember it ever happening. I was looking long and hard. My first search was, I just started scrolling through Cleveland Browns seasons recently.
That's right.
Because I was like, yeah, they had to have done it. It's not 4 quarterbacks in a season. It's 4 and 5 games. So again, Jay Gruden's got built-in excuses and their explanations, and they're reasonable and they're plausible. And if you're a decent human being who understands football and information, you can absolutely justify away with that. But you can also say, yeah, that's all well and good. Life's not fair sometimes. I'm going to rip this Band-Aid off.
Yeah. I mean, it's, as I keep saying, there are 2 plates that you can spin. One, he's had horrible luck. There's nothing that Jay Gruden has done or not done that causes the left guard to be injured every time they run a football play. What
it's
about
not
him?
His fault.
It's not, you think it's his fault that Sean Lavelle can't stay healthy? What is Jay Gruden is supposed to have done with a guy that should never have been signed anyway? Right? And now your offense can't run the ball without Sean Lavelle? This is where we are? There's nothing that Jay Gruden can do that says, yeah, Colt McCoy on a Colt McCoy scramble is going to tumble to the ground and while leg-whipping a defender, shatter his tibia or femur, whatever the hell the one is down at the bottom. There's nothing Jay Gruden can do or should do. You know that's not his fault. The stuff that is his fault, quote-unquote, that's happened under his leadership, it's all the defensive coordinators. It's the big primetime, everything on the line games, these eggs that get laid. It's 12 men on the field. It's that sort of general, we're just going to keep trying. Just somebody wants more, and everybody's right to want more in those kind of spots. It can't all be your fault, and you could still deserve to lose your gig.
Kevin wants to hop in on the convo in Arlington. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, fellas. I have 2 points. One, Grant, you sort of stole my thunder, although I think they have to lose out in embarrassing fashion. And let me tell you something.
Just like Sunday, you mean?
Gets hurt. Yeah, in other words, the last 3 games, not just one more blowout, just blowouts till the end. And if Josh Johnson gets hurt, and I don't want to, you know, God, I don't want to say it, but you're back to Sanchez, and that's very possible. But this is the second point, and I'm skeptical, and you're going to hear it. But the Snyder Whisper Danny was talking about, I can just see that they reassign Bruce to stadium operations, they bring back A.J. Smith as the Snyder Whisper, and they promote Kyle Smith to GM. And, oh, by the way, they couldn't win with all those injuries. We're going to give them another year. That's what I anticipate happening, which is basically nothing.
Well, that would just be rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic again as the violins are played and the ship goes into the water.
Let's make a bargain right now. Would you take that scenario over what else might be possible? The one where A.J. Smith is a football executive and now Kyle Smith is your quote-unquote GM. But it would sound like football operations is then empowered to make decisions.
So is A.J. Smith your VP of football ops and Kyle Smith, his son, is the GM?
Yes.
And Bruce is what?
Bruce is now just on stadium duty. Right?
I would take that over the current structure because I think Bruce Allen is incompetent in his current post.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Doug Williams doesn't belong as a de facto general manager.
He can be the Redskins ambassador, which is glorified what he is at this point.
Yeah, if you add to that Doug Williams becomes the Mr. Redskin homecoming host, cool. I'll do that.
Yeah, me too.
I'll absolutely do that.
I would take that bargain.
Because it's an upgrade over what they've got right now doesn't mean it's what we should want them to do.
I know. I'm just looking at what's realistic. I would take that bargain sight unseen.
There was a major league reliever yesterday at the winter meetings. Not a particularly great reliever, by the way, but a guy who's had a couple of decent seasons last 3 years, who had a quote about Babe Ruth and how little Babe Ruth would succeed in baseball today. I loved it. Of course, everyone hated it. Mm-hmm. We'll get into it next right here on G&D on 106.7 The Fan. I hate that we only have a few minutes for this because, honestly, this is my favorite story of the day in sports, but here we are. End of this segment, you'll find out who's going home on Redskins Survivor. The collective tribe of this fan base has spoken.
Mm-hmm.
We'll boot somebody today. Adam Ottavino, are you familiar?
He is nasty, by the way. As good a breaking ball as you'll find in the sport. It looks like he's throwing wiffle balls at times from the mound. A filthy reliever who had a career year.
Yeah, he's coming off of an outstanding season with the Rockies. He has pitched in Colorado since 2012. He's a free agent. And in fact, I actually think he could and probably should be a target for the Nationals because he's a reliever that you could bring in to pitch some critical 6th, 7th inning stints for you. He pitched 75 games for the second time in his career this past season. Doesn't matter who he is, just know Adam Ottavino, pretty good reliever. Not an elite player in Major League Baseball, but a real solid one. He was on the StatCast podcast. If you're a baseball nerd like I am, MLB StatCast podcast is pretty good. Not as good as the defunct DC Quick Pitch.
Not as good as the Baseball Duke Secret podcast, which you have to know 1,000 people and get 1,000 passwords to access.
Still good, though.
Still good.
Baseball Duke's number one. Quick Pitch, which we didn't get to do last year, number two. MLB StatCast podcast, number three. That would be the list, the order
that
I would
have. That's my hierarchy, yeah, I'd say.
Here's a quote from Adam Ottavino. I had an argument with a coach in AAA about Babe Ruth's effectiveness in today's game, Ottavino said. I said, Babe Ruth, with that swinging that bat, I got him hitting 140 with 8 homers. He went on to say, the guy that he was arguing with said, are you nuts? Babe Ruth would hit 370 with 60 home runs. And I'm like, I would strike Babe Ruth out every single time. I'm not trying to disrespect him, you know. Rest in peace. Shout out to the Babe. But it was a different game.
It was.
I mean, the guy ate hot dogs and drank beer and did whatever he did. It was just a different game. Ottavino is so right about this. And this makes everyone so upset. Baseball fans get so salty when you try to compare eras and talk about the great players of yesteryear. Babe Ruth wouldn't stand a chance against Sean Doolittle. He just wouldn't. He would look foolish. He would look a little bit better than me and you, but closer to me and you than he would Bryce Harper.
Well, this is the only thing I always say. There are certain guys born in every generation that are just freaks of nature that could play anytime. I happen to think Babe Ruth was one of those guys. And obviously trotting around out of shape Babe Ruth, smoking stogies and
that's what I'm talking about.
Getting hammered.
The Babe Ruth who hit more homers than some teams in 1927. That Babe Ruth could not get a hit off Sean Doolittle.
As designed, you're right. Dealing with, you know, nasty cutters and things that they hadn't even invented at that point. It was like the wink ball. Okay, hey, I'll wink at you one time, and then I'll throw some chin music. Like, nobody had anything.
The wink ball was so silly.
I winked at you, and you intimidated, and I threw up and in. I threw it high and tight on your face. You better dust off that batter's box. If he's now and gets to do what other guys do now, he would still be great. The same way Mano would be great, Mays would be great. Ken Griffey Jr. could play in any era. There are certain guys that are just freaks of nature where lightning strikes and they are blessed with an ability to do what most mortals can't.
So if Babe Ruth was born and was 30 years old, so he was born in 1988, you think he'd be one of the best players in baseball right now?
Yes.
I don't.
Meaning, but again, does he train like they do now?
Yeah.
Where it's a job?
He does.
Yeah.
But
dude,
human beings have evolved a lot over 60 years.
Of course they have. So if he's born now,
giving him the 60 years plus of evolution as well?
That's what I'm saying.
That's a different person. I mean, I think it's just hard to even, so now it's a completely different version of Babe Ruth. I'm saying the human being that was Babe Ruth training like these guys, getting all of the technology that they have, all the information they have, but it's still that Babe Ruth.
But is he still smoking and drinking and staying out all night?
No, he's not. He's doing everything like big leaguers do, and he's Babe Ruth from that era.
Oh, okay, now I'm confused. Does he get to lift weights and train with these guys?
He does.
And not like eat salt tablets and stay out until 5 in the morning?
He does.
Yeah, that guy can hit, man.
Good. You can have him.
I'd rather
have Wilmer Defoe.
Easy.
I would. Wilmer Defoe, better baseball player than that Babe Ruth in today's game.
Could Ted Williams hit today if he came on and was 30 years old? Born in 88, Ted Williams. In general, I default
with or without his head.
Well, I default to where you're coming from. I generally disrespect the old-timey guys,
by the way.
Where it's a dude like, that guy was great. It was Bob Cousy dribbling only with his right hand in circles and shooting set shots. All right? You know, like, guys dominated Jags. Now there's millions of great players. The best high school player would pummel dudes from the 1940s in the NBA. Nobody's saying anything different. I generally default to you. I think you've gone too far here. If you let Babe Ruth hang out with dudes around now, and in the kind of money that's exchanged and kind of the training methods and everything else and how much you can practice.
But you're skipping like 50 years of bigger, faster, stronger, of just like we've evolved. People have evolved. Now, I guess you're saying if Babe Ruth is born then.
In 88.
That he gets all of that evolution. Like, then he's a different player. And I think we're not talking about the Babe Ruth that we know then.
Right. Nutrition then was like Spam and whiskey. It's not now, right? Like, he wouldn't be that fat. I mean, my point is, I'm not saying he hits 190% more homers than the number two guy in the league. I'm not saying he hits 90 jacks or something like that. But you tell me that dude couldn't hit the sixth spot in somebody's order and DH for, I don't know, the Tigers?
Babe Ruth from?
Baltimore.
Baltimore, Maryland. That's right. Home of the Orioles.
That's right.
I love it. I'm glad Adam Ottavino said it, just because I think it's a funny conversation.
Now, I am too. If you transport that Babe Ruth, like with his weird waddle going down to first base, pointing to center field, and stuck him in the box against Ottavino, four punchouts.
People
without
get
question.
So upset about this.
Without
stuff.
Question.
I've got a tweet from a guy who says, and this is actually my buddy, it looks like. He goes, whether it's true or not, just something you don't say in baseball. Why not? Say it. Say it.
I'm surprised that old guy has Twitter. Good for him.
People
with his dial-up service
love pretending like the greats of the yesteryear were untouchable. You know, and you mentioned it.
They're like, unassailable.
Like this guy rushed for this many yards. That guy wouldn't make the roster for the Redskins right now.
One lineman were 215.
Capri Bibbs would have rushed for 8,000 yards in 1948.
Oh yeah, can you imagine?
No.
Now there's certain guys again that, as I say, could always play. Jim Brown could play in any era. That guy was incredible. Gale Sayers could play in any era. Now, would he have been as great? Of course not, right? But there are certain guys that are freaks of nature that were just given a gift that 99.999 barred percentage of human beings were never given, and they could always play, no matter what. But in the era where guys worked as refrigerator repairmen and beer truck haulers, as soon as the season ended until training camp, there's no way a 210-pound lineman in this, that's nothing.
Guy, I want the analytics on the bat speed. I want some of that stuff. Like, Babe Ruth's bat speed, I guarantee, was nubby. I mean, he's just going to have better bat speed because he trains more? That's not how it works. That's not how it works. I could train as much as I want to, born in this era. Like, you're acting like Babe Ruth, just born now, has all the physical tools of the best hitters of our lifetime. No. I mean, look at my tweets. People are so upset.
People are so mad at you.
This is why I love this so much that Adam Ottavino does.
I love it.
I mean, people are furious. This is hilarious.
I
got one guy saying, stop it right now in all caps.
It makes people so mad.
Michael says, Grant, you are so wrong about Ruth. Jeffrey says, I think this is the guy. Jeff Howard, is that the guy you hung out with one time? Star Wars dude. He says, this is 100% false. Is basing his assessment on poor quality films. I'm basing my assessment on the fact that he was a big, heavy dude who ate hot dogs in the dugout. And the game is so different now.
I think he used, the memory serves.
What was the average fastball velocity in the 20s? Was it 77 miles an hour?
37.
82.
Get out of here.
Yeah, get out of here with that.
I need all of you to understand something. 96 on the black.
He used a 35 and a half inch. I think it was like a 41-ounce bat at the time. Basically, he like ripped a chair leg off and he used to use that. It was a miniature telephone pole that he would use.
Hilarious. It's just a fun debate, and people really do get upset. Like, they're mad at me. That's
people get so mad, dude.
Babe Ruth, honestly, if I had to draft a baseball team, I would debate between him and Thom for about 2 minutes. And then, no offense, Thom, I would take Babe Ruth just for upside. But it's not a lock.
He's got more raw power than Thom. Admit that.
He's got more
I have
raw.
Bad knees.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
It's not like Ruth's knees were any good.
Let's get to Redskins survivors.
I'm having fun.
Who got sent home?
I feel like it's a safe bet that if you played before TV, you're not going to do well in a modern era. I feel like we should just leave that as a baseline.
It's a good baseline.
Yeah. Anyway, Jordan Reed's off. See ya.
Apparently, by the way, I'm age-shaming right now.
I'm sure.
Are you allowed to age-shame someone who's passed away a long time ago?
I guess now you are.
I'm an agent. I'm an era.
Can you age shame a guy who played in the era before integration?
I don't know that you can. What about an era-ist? Is that a thing yet? Can we make that a thing? I'm era shaming. That's what I'm doing. I'm era shamed.
First of all, you have era shamed from the jump.
I didn't listen. Who got voted off? What'd you just
Jordan
say?
Jordan Reed.
It doesn't matter.
Thank you.
Please continue this. It's way more fun.
Someone's going to win Redskin Survivor, and they're not going to deserve it. Can we also say that?
Yeah, we're there now.
I'm in a bad mood today.
Dude, you were in such a good mood earlier after you
called your DeFilippo
shot.
That was a home run. Listen, I was Babe Ruth.
Let me put you in a good
mood. I pointed to the bleacher seats.
It was a good show, GrantNanny.com. Put you in a good mood. Baseball Dukes is next.
Good.
The pitching market.
Oh,
Chad
wow.
Dukes has it start to finish, A to Z. Where's Corey Kluber going?
Did he really do an 11-page write-up on Anibal Sanchez?
Yes. Just on Anibal Sanchez.
I hope he
got it.
Thanks.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.